إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this will be our 12th session reading from the topic of the Qur'an, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an, yani his character was the Qur'an, by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Our topic tonight is a continuation of the hadith which the Shaykh mentioned at the end of this topic, kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an, and he mentioned 14 hadith, so we have been reading those hadith as we approach the end of this subject. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to be looking at hadith number 11 and 12. I hope you have numbered them. In the book, there's no numbering of the hadith, but in any case, yani tonight, inshallah, we'll be looking at hadith number 11 and hadith number 12. Yani a hadith from Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, and from Aisha, radiallahu anha. Before we look at tonight's topic, we want to go back a little bit to last week and look at some of the topics that we discussed last week in question and study guide number 11. First question being, summarize the story related here by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu concerning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sending him on an errand. Yani, the story related by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu concerning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sending him on some, yani, on a mission, on a task to take care of some matter. And this was hadith number 9, Abdul Haq.
Began the hadith by saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. He begins the hadith with introductory remarks that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best of people in character. Now,
he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him on an errand.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Wallahi la azharu." So he swear that Allah that he wouldn't go.
And he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him on an errand, and he said, "I swear by Allah, I'm not going to go."
أمرني
به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أمرني به. But he said, يعني, Anas is saying this, that while I said, "Wallahi, I'm not going to go," within myself, يعني, I had intended to go and fulfill the task that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded me with.
Now, so he went to the market and he saw some young boys playing. So he was hanging around with them.
Now he left to go and fulfill the task, but as he was going, yani, he passed by some boys, some young boys playing in the marketplace, and he stopped with them for a moment. So while he was there with those children playing in the market, the Prophet ﷺ came behind him and grabbed him by the back of his neck from behind him. And when he turned, he looked and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just laughing, smiling at him. So he asked him, "Did you go and do what I asked you to do? Did you take care of what I sent you to do?" Naam. And he said, "Naam, ana adhabu ya Rasulullah." Yani, this is not the summary of the story. This is the whole story. MashaAllah. Khair, khair, khair. Yani, tayyib. This is very important though, that yani, this is a story that Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu is telling us that actually took place in his interaction with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in it is a tremendous lesson for us that we should read and reflect upon in order to benefit from that which it contains. After this, and we'll go back to it, mention two things the Prophet ﷺ did which reflect the husnul quluq, or his husnul quluq, that was alluded to by Anas ibn Malik in the beginning of this hadith. Yani, what did Anas ibn Malik say in the beginning of the hadith? Somebody? In the beginning of the hadith, the introductory remarks? Not Abdul Haq, now Mustafa. That the Prophet ﷺ was from the best of people in character. So what are two things that the Prophet ﷺ did which Anas is alluding to when he's telling this story? One of those things, Elihu. He didn't scold him. Okay. Now.
When the Prophet ﷺ walked in from the back and turned, he said,
Yani, when the Prophet saw some grabbed by the back of his neck, yani he was stunned. He turned and looked and he saw he's not in trouble. The Prophet is smiling at him. He's laughing. He's just laughing at him. He's not upset with him. He's not getting ready to yani punish him. Naam. And also, something else, one more matter. Yani, the way the Prophet addressed him. And he addressed him in terms that shows that I'm not angry with you. That you are beloved to me. He said to him, Ya Unais, Ya Unais. Adhahabta ila haythu, haythu ma amartuk. Yani, he addressed him in a way to make him know it's okay. Ya Unais. Unais, tasgir of Anas, meaning endearment. Yani, yani, expression of endearment. Showing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, letting him know that, yani, it's okay. This is tremendous character from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I hope that yani we will try to exemplify, he being our model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. He's our model. That when we are dealing with young people, we should try to keep in mind the character of the Prophet ﷺ and try to exemplify it ourselves. This is the reality. And if we are not doing that, then we need to yani take a good look at ourselves. Question number two, mention two things the Prophet ﷺ, I'm sorry, that was the second question. Third question, memorize the final statement of Anas radiallahu anhu describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character during his years of service to him. Yani, what did Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu say in the end of this hadith that describes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character? Naam, Murshid. About two more seconds I would have got it, for real. Murshid. Now. He scolded him for 9 years and he didn't scold him once. And he didn't scold him once. Naam.
He didn't tell him, why did you do such, why did you not do such?
He didn't say to him, he said that, he said, wallahi, by the way, right? He said, wallahi, لَقَدْ خَدَمْتُهُ تِسْعَ سَنِينَ. By Allah, I served him for 9 years. And I don't know that he ever said to me, for something that I did, يعني لِشَيْءٍ صَنَعَتُهُ لِمَا فَأَلْتَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. He didn't find that there was any occasion in those years that the Prophet ﷺ ever said to him, well, something that he did, why did you do that? And it's something that he did wrong. He never said to him, why did you do that? Nor of anything that he failed to do. شَيْءٍ تَرَكْتُهُ. He didn't say to me, only if only you had done that. Yani, you should have done that. Why didn't you do that? In 10 years, he didn't. Or 9 years. In some of the narrations, Bukhari said also, 10 years. A long period of time. Naam. So Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he is saying in the end of this hadith, he's confirming the exalted standard of character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again, who is our example. Question number four. Discuss what you find astonishing about this statement of Anas ibn Malik describing, radiallahu anhu, describing his relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is astonishing about, yani, what Anas ibn Malik has described to us about his relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is so astonishing about it? Yani, the fact that, naam.
Yeah, compared to ourselves, it looks like it's impossible. It was 9 years.
It's astonishing. Yani, which one of us could have somebody under our care, under our service, for 9 weeks or 9 months, not to mention 9 years, and we never scolded them? And we were able to correct them and nurture them upon good behavior without speaking to them harshly, without verbally abusing them. That is astonishing, truly amazing. Now,
going through many trials, many tribulations, many
All the different things that happened during those years, all the troubles, trials, situations, wars, battles, whatever, all, during all of that, and still, yani, the Prophet ﷺ maintained his excellent, yani, character. So it's incumbent upon us to be striving every single day, at least try to get through one day, of displaying the character of the Prophet ﷺ in real life. In real life. I mean, that's our challenge, that every day it is upon us to examine ourselves and see, yani, to what extent we have been able to exemplify the character of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Question number 5, discuss the description of the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the opening statement of Anas radiallahu anhu, yani of hadith number 10. The description of the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the beginning of this hadith number 10. Naam, Shu'aib. Naam, naam. Yani, in the beginning of this hadith, Anas said, who can translate what he just said? مَا سُعِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ شَيْئًا إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ Musa. The Prophet ﷺ was never asked for anything, yani, for the sake of Islam, yani, for a person, yani, to bring a person, to attract a person, to connect a person to Islam. He was never asked for anything in that connection, except that he gave it, no matter what it was. Somebody asked him for something, and he thought that this will bring that person to Islam, he gave it, without hesitation. And again, in that is a tremendous lesson for us, because perhaps a person might come and display sincere interest in Islam. To what extent will we go to attract them to Islam? Yani, to bring them closer to Islam. What would we give? Yani, if a person said, I'm really interested in Islam, but right now I don't have a job, can you help me get a job? Well, we try to help them get a job. We say, that's your problem. I ain't got time for that. Would we give them some money to go to the job, to look for a job? Would we help them while they didn't have a job? What would we do to attract a person to Islam? I mean, this is the reality of the situation. Mention the example offered by Anas radiallahu anhu in this hadith, which reflects the magnitude of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's generosity. What was the example that Anas mentions in this hadith? Fadl. Now, he mentioned the example of a man who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in some of the narrations that he asked him, yani, he asked him for some charity. The man asked him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him ghanaman baina jabalain, meaning the sheep, all of them that filled the space between two mountains. That filled the space between two mountains. Not just a couple of sheep that was in between the mountains. Rather, they were filling the space between two mountains, and he gave them all of it. All of it. He gave him all of it. Discuss how, question number 7, discuss how the man reacted to the generosity of the Prophet ﷺ and the significance of this entire affair. Yani, how did the man react to the generosity of the Prophet ﷺ? Naam, Ibrahim. Yani, how did he react? He became, yani, he became, yani, he entered Islam and he became a da'i, calling others to Islam. Yani, he went back to his people and he said to them, Naam, Omar. Naam, he told his people, Ya Qawmi Aslimu, enter into Islam. Because indeed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gives, yani, ata'an la yakhafu al-faqa, or al-faqra in some of the narrations. And he gives in such a way that it's an indication he has no fear of poverty. He has no fear of being in need. He gives freely, without hesitation. He's not worried about wealth in this world. That's how he gives. Naam, Ibrahim? From amongst the things that this indicates is the sincerity of the Prophet ﷺ and his total trust and reliance and dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not worrying about how I'm going to eat tomorrow, what are we going to do for tomorrow. Because Allah is rich. the opposite. Many of the leaders today, they take from the people who are under them rather than give to them. They are trying to gather as much as possible, hoping that they will get rich. Whereas the Prophet ﷺ was trying to give as much as possible because Allah is rich. And there are a lot of lessons to be learned in this hadith. Briefly discuss what we learned from this hadith in terms of how we should treat someone who shows sincere interest in Islam. Yani from what Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said, rahimahullah. Yani how should we treat someone who shows sincere interest in Islam? Yani they show that they're really interested in Islam. And this is not just a passing matter, they're interested for real. We shouldn't hesitate to give them something of the worldly matters, of the worldly things. We shouldn't hesitate to give them. Naam. Naam. Because the person enters Islam and they begin to practice Islam, then Islam will become more beloved to them than anything in this world that they may have desired or asked for previous to that. Now, the Shaykh, he also said, give them, and he also said, we should attract them by means of wealth, by gentleness, by treating them well. Yani all of this, we should try to attract people to Islam by whatever means that we have, yani within the Sharia, naam, within the Sunnah, from the things that are permissible. Naam. Okay, and that goes to our next question. That is, yani mention one other point derived by Al-Imam Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah from this hadith number 10 of Anas Ibn Malik. One of the other things that we learn from this is that, yani the Shaykh said from this hadith, we derive from this hadith what? That we should not separate ourselves. We should not distance ourselves from Ahlul Kufr wal Fusuq. He said we should not distance ourselves from Ahlul Kufr wa Ahlul Fusuq. We should not separate ourselves from them and what?
And leave them
to the shayateen to play with them. But rather we ourselves should yani call them, attract them, yani be kind to them in order to bring them to Islam. This is one of the great things that we learn from this hadith, that we do have a responsibility to call people to Islam, and whatever it calls for within the bounds of the Sharia and what is lawful, that we should exert ourselves, we should extend ourselves, yani we should go above and beyond. And not hold back anything for bringing somebody to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the Shaykh mentioned the hadith, what he said to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Naam, that if Allah guides one person by you, yani to Islam, if Allah guides one person by you, it will be better for you than humur and naam. Yani the red camels, which was the most yani important, the most yani precious possession that the people in that time had. So whatever it is that is the most precious possession to the people of today, this will be better for you than that. Yani it will be better for you than whatever it is that we're seeking in this dunya. Whatever it is that we have a goal to achieve in this world, this will be better for us. That we bring, yani that through us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides even one person to Islam. Not a whole nation, a whole tribe, one human being. And then there are plenty of kuffar all around us. What effort are we making actually to bring one of them to Islam? And this is the question that we should be asking ourselves. When we hear a hadith like this, we should be asking ourselves, so what am I doing to yani comply with this? And if we didn't ask ourselves, then let's ask ourselves. Yani what will I do tonight and tomorrow and the next day and whatever time I have remaining in this world to earn the great reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Tayyib, our hadith tonight, the first hadith we're going to take, hadith number 11. I remind myself and each of us that in every one of these hadith that we have taken till now, from 1 through 10, there's a lesson in every one of them. Yani the Prophet ﷺ dealt with a man who was talking during the salat. And the people became very upset. But how did the Prophet handle him? And the Prophet ﷺ dealt with a man who urinated in the masjid. And the people became very upset. But how did the Prophet ﷺ handle him? And the Prophet ﷺ dealt with a man who grabbed him by his clothing and almost choked his neck and left a mark on his body. And then demanded, give me some money. And the Prophet ﷺ just looked at him and smiled and gave him. The Prophet ﷺ dealt with Anas ibn Malik in the hadith that we talked about in the summary today. He dealt with his little brother Yeah, Abu Umayyah, who lost his little bird, and how the Prophet had time to be concerned about that little boy and his condition, to console him and to comfort him. So how much time do we have for a child, for an infant, for another brother or sister in Islam? Do we show concern or we don't have time? And these are examples of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and many, many more. Yani how he found a date on his bed, and for fear of Allah that it could be from Sadaqah, he left it. A small thing like that, just a date, but out of fear of Allah, he left it. But as for us, sometimes we are willing to take from the shubuhat, yani, not a small date. We're willing to take anything, whatever it might be. And we have no fear, even to take, yani, some money, $10,000 or $20,000 or $50,000, we'll take it with no fear. The Prophet ﷺ was afraid to take one date. Perhaps it might be sadaqah, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was lawful. But perhaps, for fear that, yani, but we have shubha about something, is this lawful or not? Probably it's okay. Probably it's okay. That's not our example. The first hadith we want to take tonight, hadith number 11, and the Shaykh mentions this hadith from Sahih al-Bukhari, it's also reported similarly in Sahih Muslim. Hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, قال, لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سبابا ولا فحاشا ولا لعانا. كان يقول لأحدنا عند المعتبة أو معتبة, both of them are correct, ما له ترب جبينه. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now here in this hadith, Anas ibn Malik, he told us a lot of things about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now he's telling us those characteristics, evil characteristics that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم never displayed. لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سبابا. He was not one who used to abuse people, yani with speech, yani insult people, revile people, yani speak ill to somebody, say bad things to them. He was not one to do that. ولا فحاشا, yani a person who goes to the extreme in using, yani in obscenities, whether it's vile speech or even behavior, yani evil speech, indecent evil speech or behavior, or other than that. And he wasn't one who was what? La'anan. Yani who would call for the curse of Allah upon someone. Yani he was not one to curse others. Meaning, not the curse that we're talking about. You so and so and such and such. As the people today. And he said, he was cursing me. We don't mean that. We mean, yani that he didn't say, La'anatullah ala fulan. He didn't say, may the curse of Allah be upon him. He wasn't one to be going around cursing, calling the curse of Allah upon people. And then Anas says, كَانَ يَقُولُ لِأَحَدِنَا عِنْدَ الْمَعْتِبَ مَا لَهُ تَرِبَ جَبِينُهُ. Yani he used to say to one of us, if he wanted to admonish somebody, yani to reprimand them, to scold somebody for something that they did or didn't do that they should have done, when he wanted to admonish a person, he didn't use harsh speech. He wasn't rough and cruel and rude. Rather, he was gentle. He just merely said, مَا لَهُ تَرِبَ جَبِينُهُ. مَا لَهُ, yani, what's with him? What's the problem? What's the situation with him? تَرِبَ جَبِينُهُ, yani, may his forehead be covered with dust. This is the narration that the Shaykh mentions in the book. And this hadith is narrated in Bukhari several times with slightly different wording, and Sahih Muslim with different wording, and in other books. For example, in another place in Sahih Muslim, in Kitab al-Adab, yani under the chapter, Al-Imam Bukhari narrates, he titles the chapter, لَمْ يَكُنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَاحِشًا وَلَا مُتَفَحِشًا. فَاحِشًا وَلَا مُتَفَحِشًا. Yani that's the chapter heading that Bukhari gave for this hadith, this narration of the hadith, in which he mentions that the Prophet ﷺ wasn't a person who was obscene. Yani naturally, that wasn't his normal way, nor did he do it unnaturally. Yani go out of his way to be obscene. Yani he didn't exert himself to be like this, not naturally or unnaturally. Here he narrates the hadith. This narration of the hadith he narrates from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma. Okay, not from Anas ibn Malik, but the same yani report. He said, يعني عبد بن عمر بن العاص رضي الله عنهما, he said, لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فاحشا ولا متفحشا, وكان يقول إن من خياركم أحسنكم أخلاقا. يعني that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, he said the Prophet was not فاحشا, يعني one who engaged in, يعني فاحشة, يعني shameful, repugnant, disgusting, obscene, يعني behavior or speech, especially in speech. ولا متفحشا, يعني this wasn't something that he did naturally or unnaturally. And he used to say, يعني the Prophet, this is how Abdullah ibn Amr narrated the hadith رضي الله عنهما, he said, and he used to say, indeed, from the best of you is the one who's best in character. From the best of you is the one who's best in character. A lot of the narration of this hadith came with this wording at the end of it, and as opposed to the narration that the Shaykh brought. يعني الفحش, it means يعني to be obscene, to be repugnant, disgusting, in speech or in behavior, shameful behavior. In the narration of Imam Muslim, he narrated in Kitab al-Fadail, the book of virtues, Bab Kathratu Hayaihi. Imam Muslim, he didn't narrate it يعني under this bab, but that's the bab that we found it under now, because Imam Muslim didn't يعني put titles, chapter headings for the hadith. But the people who came and explained Sahih Muslim after him, they put the chapter headings. Al-Imam Nawawi, when he explained Sahih Muslim, he put this chapter heading. يعني Bab Kathratu Hayaihi. يعني الحياء means يعني modesty. Person has modesty, who's shy, shyness, bashful, who is not يعني shameless. Who is not shameless. A person who has morals, who has consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كثرت حيائه, يعني the abundance of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, modesty and shyness. He narrates the hadith in Sahih Muslim, يعني from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As رضي الله عنهما. He said, at the time when Muawiyah رضي الله عنه came to Kufa, and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As mentioned the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he said, لم يكن فاحشا ولا متفحشا, يعني he wasn't obscene, يعني naturally or unnaturally. And then he mentions that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the best of you is those who are best in character. These are some of the narrations that came, يعني with slightly different wording. The point is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني he wasn't a person who was shameless. He was a person who had, يعني, who was modest, يعني, who had consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who had, يعني, virtuous behavior and character. Al-Imam Muslim, يعني, Al-Imam Bukhari, in the narration that the Shaykh mentions in the book from Anas ibn Malik, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لم يكن نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سبابا, يعني, one who abused, insult, call people, يعني, bad names. ولا فحاشا, person who engaged in obscenities, indecencies, yani vile, vulgar language. وَلَا لَعَانًا, nor one who called for the curse of Allah upon the people or the created beings. And when he wanted to admonish one of us, he used to say to him, مَالَهُ خَرِبَ جَبِينُهُ, yani what's with him? Yani what is his situation? What has afflicted him? What has befallen him? May his forehead be covered with dust. Some of the scholars, نعم. Yeah, probably. Yeah, we're going to explain, inshallah. You're ahead of us, inshallah. Mahlan. طيب. What is the meaning? Anyway, we're going to talk about it. Yani, what is the meaning of, the Prophet, in the narration that the Shaykh brought in the book, he mentions there that he used to say, مَا لَهُ تَرِبَ جَبِينُهُ. So we're going to mention that, inshallah. First, some of the scholars said, سَبَّابًا, it means يَصُبُّ وَيَشْتِمُ الْآخَرِينَ, that he used to abuse, insult, revile, call people names. He used to speak ill to people. سَبَّابًا. يعني the Prophet, that's what a person does who's سَبَّابًا. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was not like that. And this word is on the wazn فَعَال, يعني صِغَةُ الْمُبَالَغَةِ بِالتَّشْجِيد. فعال, يعني that's the wazn, the pattern that it is in Arabic language. And likewise, the other two descriptions that he negated from the Prophet, فحاشا and لعانا, all of them on the pattern of fa'al, which is one of the sigha mubalagha, means the expression, the form of the word in Arabic language that's used for exaggeration. When a person goes beyond the bounds, overdoes it. They do it a lot, too much, beyond what is yani permissible or expected or yani normal. So yani the meaning here is that the Prophet ﷺ, the apparent meaning is the Prophet ﷺ didn't go to the extreme in doing like this. But the real meaning is that he didn't do it at all. Not just that he didn't go beyond the bounds in it. He said, Fahash, yani the meaning of Fahash, it is the form in Arabic language that I mentioned, Sigha Mubalagha also, which is used to, that when you go to the utmost, the limits of something, exaggeration, extremism in it. He said, this is from Fahash, yani ishtadda qubhuhu, aw kathura al-qubh, yani meaning that the person was excessive and exorbitant, naam, in this, yani that which is filthy, that is ugly, that is repugnant, that is disgusting. He went to the extreme with it. And he was excessive in doing so. Fahash. Yani, perhaps it's mostly used in reference to speech, but it also means in a person's behavior. Yani, repugnant behavior, disgusting behavior, as well as speech, shameful behavior, shameful speech. La'anan, yani yal'an al-nas aw ghayra. Yani, that a person calls for the curse of Allah upon the people or upon the created beings, the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the scholars said, and I'm reading yani from different books, yani mainly from the explanations of Bukhari in reference to this particular hadith, and Al-Qastalani or Al-Aini or Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani in the explanation of Bukhari, yani they mentioned some of these points that I'm going to like just mention as we go through that. If it is said that this particular yani expression or this form, this pattern in Arabic language, fa'al, it doesn't necessitate the negation of the pattern fa'il. Yani if you say that a person is not a fahash, it doesn't necessarily negate that that person is not fahish. Yani that is not the exaggerated form, that they just do a little bit of it. A person may argue that if you say lam yakun fahash, it doesn't mean that he wasn't fahish, that he didn't do some yani abominable or disgusting, repugnant, shameful yani speech or behavior. But the truth of the matter is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wasn't described with any of these things at all, not a little bit of it or a lot of it. And the use of this kind of expression came in the Quran, as in Surah Fussilat, yani the 41st surah and 46th ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. الظَّلَّام, yani the meaning of it is that it's not that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't go to the extreme in doing injustice to the people. Rather, Allah is not unjust to the people at all. That's the meaning here in reference to this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not unjust to the people at all, and likewise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't display any of these characteristics at all. Some of the scholars said fahish, it means that a person speaks yani with obscenities, with indecent behavior in their speech. And At-Tabari, he said al-fahish badhi'u al-lisan, the person who has obscene speech, vulgar speech, disgusting, repugnant, shameful speech. However, it also may include al-qawl wal-fi'l wal-sifa. Yani it also includes disgusting, repugnant, not just speech, but actions and even characteristics that are repugnant. What is intended here, yani primarily, is su' al-khuluq, wa badha'at al-lisan, and whatever is similar to that. Yani evil character in general, and filthy, yani obscene speech, foul speech. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't described with any of this. In the end of the hadith, Anas said, "Kana yakulu li ahadina indal ma'atiba." Yani when he wanted to admonish one of us, he would just say to him, ما له ترب جبينه. يعني the meaning here is that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intended, wanted to admonish or reprimand someone because of a mistake or wrong that they had done, then he would merely say to them, مَا لَهُ. And this مَا, يعني is مَا الاستفهامية. يعني meaning he's asking a question. What is his affair? What is the matter with him? مَا شَأْنُهُ وَمَا الَّذِي أَصَابَهُ. What has befallen him? What has afflicted him? What happened to this person? يعني that he's behaving in this manner. And then he would say, تَرِبَ جَبِينُهُ. And this literally means that his forehead has touched the dust. يعني that the dirt has stuck to his head. And it is said that the meaning of this is that the person fell in such a way that their head went down first, يعني from the direction of their forehead, that they touched the ground, their forehead touched the ground, and it covered them with dust. Some of the scholars said, هذه الكلمة جرت على لسان العرب ولا يراد حقيقته أو لا يقصد معناها. That this was just an expression that the Arabs used to say. يعني like today, some people say things, right? And they don't mean literally. يعني if somebody says to you, what is up? They don't say what is up, right? They say what's up. But they don't literally mean what is up. They just mean, what do they mean by what's up? Huh? How are you? What's going on? Stuff like that, right? So it's an expression that the people are used to saying. They don't really mean literally, يعني the reality of those words. They have some other intended meaning. And that's what the scholars, most of the scholars said, that this was an expression that the Arabs used to say, but they didn't really mean the reality of it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يعني he would say this to someone, and what is intended by it is al-hath ala al-fi'l aw tark al-fi'l. يعني that he is encouraging somebody, urging somebody to do something good or to leave something that was not good. يعني it was an encouragement that a person should do something of good that they wasn't doing or to leave something that they were not doing. Al-Khattabi, one of the scholars of hadith, he said, هَذَا الدُّعَى يَحْتَمِلْ وَجْهَيْنِ. يعني that this expression or this, يعني what appears to be a supplication, a dua, he said it may possibly have two different angles that it could be understood from. He said the first of them is that a person's face, يعني is that they fall down on their face on the ground so that the dust touches their forehead. And the other meaning, أن يكون دعاء له بالطاعة. And the other meaning is that it could be supplicating for this person that they, يعني, engage in acts of obedience. ليصلي, يعني for example, that they pray, and if they prayed, when they prostrated, then the dust would touch their forehead. And يعني, there's a lot of difference of opinion concerning this, but in any case, it may literally mean يعني, that may dust touch his forehead, but intending by it, يعني, encouraging somebody to do good or to leave off some evil behavior, or it may have a figurative meaning, and the figurative meaning may mean, may dust touch your forehead, meaning, may you يعني engage in acts of obedience like salat, and so that the dust will touch your forehead. Al-Imam Muslim, I'm just going to end with this, that Al-Imam Muslim, يعني he narrates this hadith, or the hadith in Imam Muslim is narrated in the book of Fadail, the book of virtues. يعني this hadith is narrated in the book of virtues. يعني excellent character, excellent يعني traits of behavior. And under the subtitle of the abundance of the haya, the shyness, the modesty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which indicates to us that not engaging in this kind of behavior shows that a person has haya with the people, and more importantly, haya with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person doesn't engage in this kind of behavior, and this also indicates the good character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that he chose to act in a virtuous manner and to avoid acting in a despicable, contemptible manner. Yani by choice, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose that which was virtuous. The second hadith that we're looking at tonight also is narrated by Imam Bukhari, yani in the book of Adab, Manners. And this one, yani, is under the same title as the previous hadith though. Yani it came Yani the previous hadith came in more than one place, so one of the places it came also with this hadith under the title of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not fahishan wala mutafahishan. This hadith, though under this chapter, is the hadith of narrated from Abdullah ibn Abi Mulaika from Aisha radiallahu anha, anna yahudan atau an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam faqalu assamu alaykum. فقالت عائشة عليكم ولعنكم الله وغضب الله عليكم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم مهلا يا عائشة مهلا يا عائشة عليك بالرفق وإياك والعنف والفحش قالت أولم تسمع ما قالوا يعني عائشة رضي الله عنها said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said أَوَلَمْ تَسْمَعِي مَا قُلْتُ رَدَدْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ فَيُسْتَجَابُ لِي فِيهِمْ وَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُمْ فِيَّا يعني Abdullah ibn Abi Mulaika رحمه الله narrates from Aisha رضي الله عنها she said that a group of Jews came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and they said أَسَّامُ عَلَيْكُمْ يعني death be upon you Aisha رضي الله عنها she said to them وَعَلَيْكُمْ يعني may death be upon you You all. And not only that, but further than that, she went on. Yani, she went beyond even what they said. She didn't suffice with that, but she said, and also, لَعْنَكُمُ اللَّهِ May the curse of Allah, may Allah curse you all. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُمْ May the wrath of Allah be upon you all. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to Aisha, مَهْلًا Be easy. Slow down. O Aisha, you should be, يعني عليكي بِرِفْقٍ Be kind, be lenient, be gentle. And wa iyaki, and beware of yani al-unf, harshness. Wal fush, yani excessiveness. She said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, haven't you heard what they, yani the Yahud, what they have said? Didn't you hear what they said? That's why I said what I said. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, haven't you heard what I said? Yani I repeated, I returned to them what they said to me. The Prophet merely said to them, Alaykum, wa alaykum, same to you, whatever it is. And he said that my supplication, what I have said, yustajabu li fihim. What I have said, yani will be responded to concerning them. Allah will answer it. Wa la yustajabu lahum fiyya. And what they have said, what they have supplicated, death be upon me, yani it will not be responded to, it will be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani in another narration in Sahih al-Bukhari, in the book of Da'awat, The wording is slightly different. It actually mentions when they said, Assam alaik, the Prophet ﷺ said to them, Wa alaikum. Yani in the first narration, it doesn't mention that he responded, it mentions Aisha's response. In this narration, it actually says that the Prophet said, Wa alaikum, the same to you. Yani, what, and this is why, yani, if a person who's not a Muslim said, give you some kind of greeting, it's permissible to say Wa alaikum. There's nothing wrong with that, absolutely. Because the meaning of it is, and the same to you. If they said something good, same to them. If they said other than that, yani, without yani going to the extremes in responding in like. They said, may death be upon you. Then you said, yeah, and death be upon you too. And may Allah curse you. And the wrath of Allah be upon you. But how did the Prophet ﷺ respond? Wa alaykum. Thus. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, Assalamu alaikum in this narration. Yani she didn't just say wa alaikum, she said, Assalamu alaikum, death be upon you. I heard what you said. And may Allah curse you. And may Allah's wrath be upon you. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her, slow down, take it easy, calm down. In another narration of this hadith, also in Sahih al-Bukhari, yani there's slightly different wording, and I'll just read the part. Yani when they said, Assalamu alaikum, Aisha, she said, Fahimtuha. I understood what they said. I understood what they said. I heard them and I understood what they said. Then she said, I said, Wa alaykum assam wa la'ana. That's when I said to them, and upon you be death, and the curse of Allah, and so on. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this narration in Bukhari, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Mahlan ya Aisha, Inna Allaha yuhibbu rifq fil amri kullihi. That Allah, indeed Allah loves gentleness in all affairs. O Aisha, calm down. Indeed, Allah loves gentleness in all affairs. And then she said, did you hear what they said? And he said, yani the Prophet ﷺ said, قَدْ قُلْتُ وَعَلَيْكُمْ. I said, وَعَلَيْكُمْ, same to you. I heard what they said, and I said, the same to you. In this hadith, it is said that when the Yahud said to the Prophet ﷺ, Assalamu alaykum, that the meaning of this, Assalamu alaykum, it is al-maut. Al-Khattabi said, they, the Yahud, they explained that in their language, Assalam, yani alaykum, it means death be upon you. It is as though they are supplicating that death before you. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, wa alaykum, wa la'anakum Allah, wa ghadib Allah alaykum. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, calm down, take it easy, slow down, ya Aisha. Yani the meaning here is, yani, don't be hasty. Be deliberate. Think about what you are saying and what you're doing and take it easy. Take it easy. Be gentle. Yani this is the meaning of what the Prophet ﷺ is saying, mahlan. And then the Prophet ﷺ advised her, he said, alayki birrifq. Yani it is incumbent upon you to be gentle. Wa iyaki wal'unfa wal'fuhsha. And I warn you to beware of being harsh and yani being excessive, going to the extreme, going beyond the bounds. Yani they said death be upon you, and then you not only returned death to them, but then you went beyond the bounds and you start saying more than that. The Prophet said, be gentle. I warn you from harshness and from going beyond the bounds. Yani going to excessiveness and extremism. In the narration of Bukhari that we mentioned, yani in one of the narrations it said, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقَ فِي الْأَمْرِ كُلِّ. This is very important. Yani in some of the narrations it mentions that the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah, indeed Allah loves gentleness in all affairs. In all affairs. Somebody said, death be upon you, Allah loves gentleness in all affairs. Be easy. Take it easy. That doesn't justify you, what they said to me, so I came back. Yani, don't let people take you out of your character. Our example is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Allah loves gentleness in every affair. In the narration of Muslim, from Aisha radiallahu anha, in another narration, it said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقُ وَيُعْتِي عَلَى الرِّفْقُ مَا لَا يُعْتِي عَلَى الْعُنْفُ. In another narration, reported by Imam Muslim, yani, Aisha says that the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah Himself is Rafiq. Allah is gentle. And He loves gentleness. And He gives upon gentleness that which He doesn't give with harshness. Meaning Allah makes things happen if you are gentle that He doesn't make happen when you are harsh. Some people think that you have to show harshness, you have to be stern, you have to show that you are tough and rough, and you could be aggressive and you violent, and that's the only way you get the job done. But the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah gives through gentleness what He doesn't give through harshness. Yani, this is important for us to reflect upon. Because some of us, especially in these inner cities of the Bilad al-Kufr, we imagine that you have to be rough. And it's even more so in the prisons. And one of our brothers, he works in the prisons. And he said that some of the people, they are nice people, but they walk around with a stern face, and they talk tough, and they get, and if somebody, yani, approach them, they might cut them or stab them. To make believe, to show a false face that they are tough and they are rough. Because, yani, you have to be rough, you have to be tough, you have to be violent, you have to be aggressive. But, wallahi, alladhi la ilaha illa huwa, Allah is the one who controls the heavens and the earth. The one who depends upon Allah and put their trust in Allah, Allah gives by rifq what He doesn't give by unf. That's the fact of the matter. And some people might say, well, you don't really know, you haven't been in the streets. We've been in the streets. We've been in the prisons. We've been in all of that. Naam. Naam. Oh, but it wasn't like that back then, 50, 60 years ago. We're still walking the streets right now. The blood gangs, in my neighborhood, is full of them. We walk through them every day, going and coming. And we don't make stern faces or nothing. We just look like we're Muslim. And they don't say a word. And Allah is sufficient for the believers. Even if you really are tough. And there are some people who are master martial artists, but they don't walk around looking tough. You don't have to look tough. Just, yani, put your trust in Allah. When you leave your house, say, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. With consciousness and understanding of what you're saying, believing that in your heart, and then be alert, be vigilant. And don't bother anybody, and if somebody tries to harm you, defend yourself in the name of Allah. Allah is sufficient for the believers. That's a fact. And whoever doesn't understand that, we're still growing in Islam now. May Allah increase us in iman. And tawakkul alayhi. Wa thiqa bihi. Naam. Have trust in Allah. Have trust in Allah. Have faith in Allah. For real. Huh? Inshallah. But you have to remind me. Not now. Because now I'll forget by the time I go home. Anyway, we're running out of time. Near the end of our hour, right? So, yani, in this narration of Imam Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha says that he said, "Inna Allaha rafiqun yuhibbul rifq." Yani, he is himself gentle, and he loves gentleness, and he gives for the one who is gentle that which he doesn't give to the one who is harsh. And the meaning here, yani, some of the scholars said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to Aisha, "I said, alaykum," yani meaning, alaykum ma tastahiqoonahu. Yani that what they are deserving shall be for them. Wa innama ikhtar hadhihi sigha liyakuna abad an al ihash wa aqrab ila rifq. Yani that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he limited himself to just these few words, wa alaykum, which doesn't show any harshness or roughness, or violence, or going to the street. Wa alaykum. Wa alaykum. Some of the scholars said that the meaning of this is that may you have that which you deserve. And the Prophet ﷺ is choosing this expression so that he would distance himself from excessiveness and yani aggression and cruelty and oppression. And he will be nearer to gentleness with this kind of expression. Extreme, yani, extremely important lesson in this. We should choose our words. Be careful of the words that you use. And don't go beyond the bounds. Yani, if one word is sufficient, let it be sufficient. Yani, if the intent is conveyed, it's sufficient. It's sufficient. We don't have to go on with long, yani, lines of abuse and insult and any foul language. Suffice with a word of gentleness that conveys the meaning and serves the purpose. The Prophet ﷺ said, she said, "Did you hear what they said?" He said, "Did you hear what I said? What I said is wa alaykum. Yani, for you is what you deserve." And that is because, yani, the Prophet ﷺ said that my supplication against them will be answered because it's the truth. And their supplication against me will not be answered because it is falsehood and it is oppression and it is wrong. And I'm going to close with this. Yani, Al-Imam Al-Ayni, in his explanation of Sahih Al-Bukhari, specifically Umdat Al-Qari, he said, "Hadha al-hadith dhakarahu fi bab al-rifq fi al-amr kulli." Yani, Al-Imam Bukhari mentioned this hadith in yani the narration that the Shaykh brought. That narration came in one chapter, and it also came in another chapter. Al-Imam Al-Ayni, he said, this hadith was mentioned in another chapter, that is, of rifq fil amri kullihi. We mentioned that narration. Yani, gentleness in all affairs. And then it was repeated after that in the chapter that we have under discussion. And he said, the benefit of repeating it, bringing it again, under, yani, under the chapter heading that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani, he wasn't under the under this chapter here, Al-Aini is saying that here in this chapter of the Yahud, he's bringing this hadith again, yani, even though he mentioned it before, and that is to show that since the Prophet ﷺ wasn't one who was abusive in speech, wasn't one who was excessive, yani, in harshness. So in this hadith, he ordered Aisha radiallahu anha to be gentle, yani, to be gentle, and he prohibited her from this excessiveness and from harshness. Because what? Yani, he prohibited her from harshness and excessiveness because, yani, we're supposed to be easy and gentle and not go to extremes. Yani, there are a lot of narration of this hadith. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, in his explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, he mentioned some of the other narrations that are related to this topic, and I'll just mention a couple of them quickly. He mentioned a lot of narrations. I'll mention two or three of them. One of them is also narrated by al-Bukhari that we didn't mention yet. He said, "Inna rifq la yakunu fi shay'in illa zanahu, wa la yunza'u min shay'in illa shanahu." Okay, gentleness, indeed gentleness, it would not be in anything except that it zanahu, it beautifies it. It will not be removed from anything except that it disfigures it, it makes it ugly. The Prophet ﷺ said that this is gentleness. Anytime there's gentleness in something, it beautifies it, and when it's removed from something, it makes it ugly. In a narration that's reported by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Khuzaymah said that it's sahih, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man utiya حَظَّهُ مِنَ الرِّفْقِ فَقَدْ عُوْتِيَ حَظَّهُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ." That whoever has given his portion of gentleness, indeed, this person has been given his portion of the khayr, of goodness. And we are in need of gentleness. And the final narration that I'll mention is reported by Al-Imam Muslim from Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet ﷺ said in this narration, "Man yuhram al-rifq, yuhram al-khayra kullahu." And whoever is deprived of gentleness, that person has been deprived of all good. Naam. So we're going to stop here, inshallah. And I hope that these two hadith give us something to work with in terms of that which, yani, we should not display in our character in dealing with the people, and also this important characteristic that we need to develop. And if we have it already, that we can, yani, try to develop it further, and that is, yani, arifq, gentleness, in our dealings with our families, if we have children, and with our parents, also if our parents are living, in our places of work, where we go to school, our neighbors, yani, trying to remind ourselves of the gentleness and the importance of gentleness, the value of gentleness, the excellence of it, and that it is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is incumbent upon us to, yani, take it to heart and not just listen to hadith as something that sound good, we enjoy hearing them, and it's nice to know them and to memorize them, but, yani, in real life, it is not displayed in us. Yani, it's like a man who, when you see him, you think of knowledge. Yani, a person who displays knowledge. They have a lot of knowledge, but you don't see it manifested in their behavior. Naam. And that's why there's a difference between the scholars who practice what they know and those who just preach. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.